today is first Saturday of May, and the month of May is a Marian month, as we know. We don't follow the Flores de Mayo tradition here, but it's the month when everybody gives flowers to Our Lady, and we will be presenting her with flowers at the end of the Mass, because it's first Saturday. But today is also a feast day in the Church, the feast of two of the 12 apostles, Philip and James. So we have two reasons to celebrate, and we're in the Easter season. So there are three reasons to celebrate. First Saturday, Feast of Philip and James, season of Easter. I'd like to focus not so much on Mary, but on the apostles. The apostles, as we know, were the eyewitnesses of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, and they were the ones chosen to go out and proclaim the good news. Two of the apostles are the ones we celebrate today, Philip and James. Philip is mentioned in the Gospel. In fact, Philip is the one who asks Jesus, show us the Father. He gets corrected about that, but it's a very profound conversation Jesus has with Philip. And then James is mentioned in the first reading as one of those who received a personal appearance of the risen Lord. St. Paul gives a whole list of the different eyewitnesses of the resurrection. Well, first of all, there's Cephas. He doesn't mention Mary Magdalene, but he mentions Cephas, then he mentions the 12, then 500 brothers and sisters all at the same time. We don't have any record of that apparition of the risen Lord, but 500 people saw Jesus alive. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and then out of the ordinary, St. Paul himself. So James, this is the other James. There's two Jameses, you know. The first one, the big James, or the James the Greater, is James the son of Zebedee. James and John are brothers. This is the other James, so sometimes called James the Lesser. We've been following the experience of the apostles in the early church and their sufferings. Tomorrow we're going to hear about seven of the apostles who meet Jesus on the seashore. Some of you have pondered that already, that apparition of Jesus. And it says seven apostles were there. There was Peter, James and John, Thomas, he shows up in today's gospel too, Nathanael, and two others. We don't know who the other two are. Maybe it was Philip and James. We don't know. But that's it. Philip and James are considered of less importance, so they might not even be mentioned. I was looking at this painting again on the front cover of the Animal Way. Many of you have this. The focus is on Thomas, right? Thomas has got his finger sticking into Jesus' side, and Jesus is holding his hand as if he's kind of forcing him to really get it. But there are two other apostles in the background. One of them is probably Peter, because that's the typical portrayal of Peter, bald and with a beard and older man. But then there's another guy. I don't know who that is. Maybe it's Philip, because Philip wanted to see the Father. Philip was one of the ones who was searching deeply into the mysteries. We don't know who it is. Philip and James. But if you've followed any of the series of the TV show, The Chosen, you know that they've tried to make each of the apostles have a unique personality so that we can tell them apart. Philip is a big guy, kind of enthusiastic, friendly fellow. He was an apostle or a disciple of John the Baptist. But James in that series, The Chosen, is, they call him Little James, or Jesus calls him kind of affectionately Little James, because he's so much shorter than the other James in that show. But he also has a limp. He walks with a limp. He's disabled. Sometimes has a crutch. And he's in that series, he wasn't a fisherman, he was some kind of a craftsman. I don't remember exactly the details. But one of the moving scenes in The Chosen is where James, who's crippled and feels so inadequate, asks Jesus why he doesn't heal him, because he's dragging them down as they walk around. James is always at the end. And he asks Jesus, kind of frightfully and tearfully and with confusion, why he He heals so many people. He doesn't even heal one of his own disciples, one of his own 12 apostles. Now, I don't know if there's any tradition about that, but Jesus' answer is that because I trust you, that if you can proclaim the good news with your disability, imagine how much more impact it will have on people who have different forms of suffering. Anyway, that's just a fictional version. But Philip and James are real people, real apostles, and they really laid down their lives for the gospel. So they're among the 12 who were frightened during the Passion and ran away, but who after Pentecost are extraordinarily bold, courageous witnesses of the resurrection. And since we're here in the Easter season, we're celebrating that change that took place in the apostles that made it possible for the gospel to be proclaimed. Otherwise, who would know? We're built on the apostles. The church is built on the foundation stones of the apostles. Without the apostles, we don't have the testimony about Jesus. So Philip and James, very important. I was reflecting on this. The apostles are something like our ancestors in the faith. And I was reflecting on this because yesterday, last night, I was at a wake of a woman who has 3 great-grandchildren. I was so struck by that. Some of you were there. This is Belle's mother. So I didn't know there were that many generations. So great-grandchildren are kind of an unusual thing. But if those little babies, they weren't at the wake, but those little children, if they were to look at their great-great-grandmother, who just passed away, they would say, well, we came from her. Our line is built on her, generation after generation after generation. It's very striking to me. But that's the way we are with the apostles. We look back and say, well, this is where we were founded. These are the first ones to follow Jesus, to trust in Jesus, and to proclaim Jesus dead and risen. So they're like our great-great-grandfathers. And a lot of greats, but that's who we are. We're built on the apostles. Now, this is also striking because the church in this time of history is without a pope. We're in this interregnum period between Pope Francis and whoever the next pope will be. And there's a lot of reflection on what's a pope, how do you choose a pope, what is this church, how's the church structured? Who are these people, these cardinals? Now, the Pope is the successor of St. Peter, one of the apostles, the chief of the apostles. So the Pope is in direct line to St. Peter. The other apostles their line is continued among the bishops. So bishops are successors of the apostles. Our bishop here, Bishop Jesse, he's a successor of the 12, not one by one, because there's a lot more bishops than there are apostles, but that's the idea. The collection, the college, the community of the bishops are the successors of the apostles. There's been so much speculation about who's going to be the next pope, and if you read any of these things, of course they look into the qualifications, the personalities, the gifts, the weaknesses, the history, the age, even whether they speak Italian or not, or whether they've ever been to Rome or not, how many people they know, if they've been in any scandals, and of course, all these speculations, which they're all part of the picture. We don't know how the first successor of Peter was chosen, Saint Linus, the second bishop of Rome. We don't know how he got chosen. There wasn't a conclave, but maybe he was among the 500 who saw the risen Lord. But we do know, and so aside from choosing a successor of Peter, we know that the successors of apostles are chosen by apostles. and the bishops are formally chosen by the successor of Peter, the Pope. So Philip and James are simply the beginning of a very long line of chosen messengers. And Part of the reason why I kind of like reading about all these possible popes is because they just focus on the human dimension. We don't know what the Holy Spirit will do. No one knows. But the humanity of the church is part of the story. Philip and James are real people with real strengths and real weaknesses. Maybe James was maybe he did have a limp. Maybe he did have a disability. I don't know. Philip, who is the one who asked, show us the Father, show us the Father. He had strengths and weaknesses. But they were also chosen. They were also given grace and a special vocation. The reason why this is, or one of the reasons why this is something beautiful to ponder, is because it helps us recognize how God works in a church full of sinners. Every one of the possible popes is a sinner. There's going to be some reason why he's not qualified. Well, so are we, all sinners. In fact, there's lots of reasons why none of us is qualified to proclaim the gospel or to be a witness to our faith. None of us is qualified, except that God has chosen us. We didn't choose ourselves to be baptized. Most of us were baptized as babies. Someone else made the decision for us. But God chose us. And God has inserted us in this sacred family, the church. God has built us on the foundation of the apostles. God has given us His Holy Spirit and the gift of faith. He's entrusted us, weak instruments, imperfect instruments, disabled instruments, He's entrusted us with a great treasure. That's true of every single Christian. So whether, I don't think anyone in this room is likely to be chosen as the next pope or even as a bishop, but it doesn't matter. God's choice is what we honor here. God who chooses imperfect people to do a great, great work. So we celebrate the apostles, not just the men, the individual men, but the unfolding of the plan of God in the church, which is a very beautiful work. Yes, it's got lots of ups and downs and scandals, but the work continues because the gospel must be proclaimed. The truth must be taught. People have to know the way out of the trap of sin. And the way out is by putting our faith in Jesus Christ and His great mercy. That's why I love this. I love this painting because Thomas was a doubter. He said, I won't believe until I see. And Jesus said, okay, see, come and see. But blessed are those who do not see and believe. That's the blessing offered to all of us. The blessing offered to us who are built on the foundation of Philip and James and all the apostles. So as we celebrate Easter and as we continue to pray for the cardinals and for the conclave, we go forward with faith, joyful that we too have been chosen as Jesus' own missionary disciples.